Well, it's great to see you all here again this morning. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm going to need you to help me today, kids and bigger kids as well. So I hope you're slightly more responsive than you were with Uncle Les before. He was having a hard time, wasn't he? Getting you to answer his questions. But I hope you're going to help me answer my questions this morning. And here's the first one. If you saw someone dressed in one of these, what would they be? Archie, first hand. A policeman. And if you look really closely, you can't see. It says West Yorkshire on the front. Because it's a great force from West Yorkshire. What about this one? If you saw someone dressed like this, can you see them up there? Oh, yeah. I can't see at the back. It's too light. But somebody was dressed like that, they would be what? Go on. A soldier. That's right. Somebody who might be in the army. That's right. What about one of these? This takes me back a long time. Never looked like that when I was a little kid. Someone who was dressed like Reese. What were they? What's they? A Cub Scout. You're right. Not a scout. A Cub Scout. Circular badges. Loads of them. This is a bit. This is an adult person. What if someone was dressed like this? Who would they be? Yeah. Go on. Right. A judge. Well done. A High Court judge. Queen's Counsel, QC. Very posh, aren't they? Do you know when people wear clothes, it tells us something. If people wear a uniform or clothes, it tells them something. Tells us something about them, doesn't it? It might tell us what they do or what their occupation is, what their job is. It might tell us where they come from. Some people wear national costume or national dress. Sometimes Claudius and Dorcas come in their African national dress, don't they? It's great, all colourful and bright. And it tells us where they're from. Sometimes people wear clothes and it tells us about their personality. It might even tell us about their character, who they're trying to be and what they're trying to be and which group they belong to and which fashion they're following. Clothes tell us lots of different things about people, don't they? I know some of you here support Liverpool because that's what you're wearing. You're not Evertonians. You're not Manchester United. You're not Leeds United. No, no. Liverpool, because of what you're wearing. Sometimes people wear clothes and it hides who they really are, doesn't it? They're trying to give an impression about who they are, and it's not really true, but they're trying to be somebody or like somebody, but it's not really who they are. What about this picture? Can you tell me from this picture what these people are? From what they're wearing. Can you tell me who they are and what they are? It's a little bit more difficult, isn't it? William, do you think? A family. Well, that's a good answer because they are, some of them, from the same family. I don't think they're all from the same family, but a family is a great answer. Can you really tell who those people are from what they're wearing? William was closer than he thought, actually. Because you know what? That's a group of people who are in a growth group, a small group, a community group, whatever you want to call it. Not from this church, but they're all members of a growth group, a small Bible study group at their local church. They're there with their families. Good answer, William. And of course they are a family altogether. But you can't really tell that they're Christian people just from what they're wearing, can you? I mean, they could be a group of anybody. They could just be a family together. They happen all to be Christian men and women along with their children. But they don't wear a uniform that says, hey, I'm a Christian, do they? You can't really tell that. But actually, when I saw that group of people, and thinking about the things that people wear, it got me thinking. What do Christians wear? I don't mean a uniform. I don't mean like sometimes you see a vicar walking around with a dog. I was going to put my robes on this morning, but I thought I might make you freak out, so I didn't. They're upstairs in the office. I don't mean like a dog collar. I don't mean like a cross or a fish badge on your lapel or the back of your car. I don't even mean your Sunday best, putting on your suit and your nice stuff. Paul Forrest, look at that, dapper today. He's got his Sunday best on today. Wow. I don't mean that. I mean, what do Christians wear? Well, actually, the verses that we read to us before give us a great answer. In fact, the Bible talks a lot about clothing. But do you know what, kids? And bigger kids. When the Bible talks about clothing, it rarely is really talking about outside clothing. I mean, it does from time to time, but most of the time when the Bible talks about clothing, it talks about clothing not for the body, but for our hearts, for our souls, for the real us, not the external, but the internal. And our reading this morning spoke of two things, didn't it? Two things that we are to put on. Here they are. Isaiah writes, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God because he has clothed me, number one, with the garments of salvation, and number two, with the robe of righteousness. Here they are, a garment of salvation and a robe of righteousness. When we think about the word garment, when we think about any clothes, really, we're talking about covering over, aren't we? Our clothes cover us. And that's what this statement here means. Garments of salvation. Something to cover the wrong things that we've done. Something to cover over all our wrongdoing. What the Bible calls sin or iniquity. It covers it over. It blots it out. It hides it from view. All our guilt, all our shame, all our sin is covered with a garment of salvation. Rescue. Saved. You know, Christian men and women wear a garment of salvation. They've been given something to cover over all their sin. Those who've repented, those who've turned from their ways and come back to God, those who put their faith in all that God has done in sending Jesus to die and rise again, are people who've been forgiven of their sin, and their sin is covered over so that God says, I remember it no more. That's a great garment, isn't it? Our sin, our wrong things, forgiven and forgotten. That was written way back before Jesus was born. But actually, do you remember? I'm sure you do. Help me out with this one. You remember a great story Jesus told? He told it about a boy who took half his dad's money and ran off. Do you remember? And he spent all the money and had a great time, he thought, with his friends and thought life was brilliant until all the money ran out. Do you remember that story that Jesus told? Who can tell me? Where did the little boy, or the little boy or the big boy, where did the boy end up? Where did he finish up when all his money had gone? Where did he end up? Go on, Archie. On a pig farm, feeding the pigs. In a right mess. And do you remember? He comes to his senses. I love that phrase. He comes to his senses. He realizes that he's made a right mess of it. Because he's in a right mess. And he turns around and he goes home. Now, here's a good question. When he gets home, who can tell me? Boys and girls. Bigger boys and girls in the young people. Bigger boys and girls. What happens when he gets home? What does he get from his dad when he gets home? Anybody tell me what he gets? A hug. Good answer. He definitely gets that. And a big kiss. Like that. And then what does his dad give him? Come on, adults, help me out. Don't leave me in the lurch like Uncle Les before. What does he get when he gets home from his dad? A robe. And a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. He gets a brand new set of clothes. I reckon his old clothes from the pig farm where Archie had us, I reckon they stank, didn't they? Whoa. And he gets a brand new robe. It's a picture for us of what's talked about here. He's saved, he's rescued, he's welcomed home, and he gets a brand new set of clothes to put on. The garments of salvation. But also a robe of righteousness. It's not just a garment of salvation. There's a covering with the robe of righteousness as well. You see that boy in his pig farm? His clothes stank. They were a right mess. That reminds us that the clothes that we try and wear, the clothes of religion or the clothes of our own righteousness or the clothes of us doing the best that we can, the Bible says they're all a mess. They're all dirty rags. They're no good to us. No, those dirty rags, those filthy clothes have to be thrown away, taken off. And a brand new robe, a robe of righteousness, has to be given to us. Remember way back in the Bible, right at the beginning of the Bible, here's Adam and Eve. They're there in the garden, and they try and make themselves clothes, and they don't work. And they can't hide. And it doesn't cover their shame or their guilt or their sin. And what does God do? God provides. An animal is killed, and fur and clothes, leather maybe, I don't know, a new garment, a brand new garment, a robe of righteousness is given to them by God. Because whatever we try and put on, whatever clothes we think we can wear, they'll wear out. Just like clothes go out of fashion. I'm usually working for the fashion to come around the second time, and then I wear it again. But when clothes go out of fashion, so our clothes, our desires, our aims, our intentions to do the best that we can, just wear out and just don't work. And God says, what you need is a robe of righteousness, and that's exactly what I will give to you. And this garment of salvation and this robe of righteousness is all prepared by and provided in and purchased through the heart of this whole book we've been looking at together, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's prepared it for us. He's got it all ready. In fact, the truth is that in this passage, it's as though he also is wearing these robes and bringing them to us. He is the Savior. He is the righteous one. And he gives what he wears to you and I. It's all been prepared for us. It's all been provided for us. You can't make these robes. You can't go down the tailors and ask them to make you some. You can't buy them. It's all been provided in, and it's all been purchased through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were here last weekend and in the middle of the week, you might have heard Molly sing a song. Do you know what? This week, completely by fluke, I came across the background to the song that she sang. It's an old song that she sang last weekend. But you know what? It happened to be written in a church service just like this. And you know what? You might think this is happening right now. Hang on in there with me if you do. But you know what? This was written way back when, back in the 1800s. A lady called Elvira Mabel Hall was sitting in church, and you know what? She was bored. The preacher was going on and on and on and on, and she was bored. And she sat in the choir stalls, and she got her hymn book out, and she started doodling. Just like William's doodling now. Good man. You might write a hymn by the end of it. Who knows? And she started to doodle, and she was thinking, I wish he'd shut up, that fella. And then she heard a little line. And rather than doodle, she started to write. And this is what she wrote. I hear the Saviour say, your strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me your all in all. Jesus paid it all, she wrote. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, bright red, dirty. He washed it white as snow. She carried on writing. Lord, now indeed I find your power and yours alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. For nothing good have I by which your grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And when before your throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. For Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson, a dirty stain. He washes it white as snow. It's all provided in Jesus. But it gets better than that. Can you imagine it getting better? It does. It gets better than that. Because our verse goes on to say, garments of salvation, robes of righteousness. But then listen to this. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Let's take a look at this picture. Here's a bunch of Christians. Who's the most important people in that picture? Who can tell me? Look closely. Who's the most important person in that people in that picture? Anybody other than Archie going to help us out? He's doing really well. He's getting all the sweets at the end. Oh, hands have shot up. I haven't got any sweets, sorry. Who's, come on, ladies, girls, who's the most important person, people in that picture? Can you tell me? The bride and groom, there they are. And just for those of hard of sight, here it comes, just to point them out to you. There they are, look. They're the most important people. And look at the garments they've got on. They're decked out, said Isaiah. There's beauty and there's jewels and there's adornment. That's a big word for looking really posh and really smart and really beautiful. And that's the sort of garments that God provides. They're not just garments of salvation and robes of righteousness. They're extra special. And because our minds have been taken to a wedding day now, we're also supposed to recognize that these garments are given to us by someone who loves us so very much. Here's a picture of intimacy, of real deep love and unity together. And you and I have been brought, if we wear in these garments of salvation, these robes of righteousness, into the most loving, most wonderful, most secure family that you could ever think of. You see, the gospel tells me that you and I, yes, me and you, outside of Christ, were more sinful than we could ever imagine. But in Christ, more loved than you ever dreamed. Isaiah has told us that. Way back in Isaiah 43, we were reminded that God says, I love you. I've called you by name. You're mine. You're precious to me. I'm not going to give you some half-baked, half-cut, ill-fitting garments. I'm going to give you the best. Like bridegroom and bride garments. So special are you. I'm going to give you these garments of salvation, these robes of righteousness, and I'm going to envelop you in my arms of love. A big hug, like the prodigal son got. Lavish love, everlasting love, no greater love. Don't know how far William's got writing his hymn with this fella droning on, but I'm nearly done. Hang on in there. One last picture. Oh, wait. Whoa, I've got ahead of myself. Well, in Mo. Here's a question for your kids and bigger kids. What is your least favorite TV show? That time when you walk in the front room or the back room, whenever your telly is, and mum and dad or brother and sister are watching something, you go, oh, no, not this. What's your least favorite? Go on, Reese.
Your mum's house programs.
Your mum's house programs. I'm with you, mate. Ooh, terrible. Come on, older folks, join in. Which do you least like? You walk in the room and your wife or your husband or your kids are watching something, you go, oh, no, not this. And you hightail back at John Crawford. Neighbours. Well said, sir. I sit and watch it. I'm not interested in it. I'm supporting my wife. Any more? Come on, any more? Yes. Football. You got some support there. Do you know what? Anything that's not sport or news or Top Gear or old British comedy, not American rubbish, I'm not interested really. But there's one program that I walk in the room, and especially when Molly's home like she is right now, it's on. And it's on something called TLC, which even itself sounds like a wrong TV program. And here it is. Look at this. Have you watched this program? Say Yes to the Dress. Oh, dearie dear. I mean, the fella's enough to put you off, isn't he? Look at him. Oh, say yes to the dress. There's another one called Don't Tell the Bride. What's all that about? Oh, dearie me. They go into the shop and they spend... It's in America. Oh, it's coming to UK, isn't it? Look, I'm up to speed with this stuff, you see. Yes, say yes to the dress. UK is on its way. Oh, dearie me. Cancel the subscription. These ladies go into the shop and they go with this special shop designer, and this person comes along and they get this dress and they change it round and they try this and they try the next, and eventually they say yes to the dress. She's just said yes, I think, that lady there, and all those looking really happy, aren't they? No, they're just looking at the dollar signs that they've just collected. That's what they're looking at. Say yes to the dress. Oof. Listen, folks, young folks and old folks alike, I'm not asking you to say yes to the dress. Not that sort of dress. I am asking you, say yes to abundant life. Say yes to the truth. To say yes to Jesus. Because he offers to you and I garments of salvation and robes of righteousness that are fitted for the greatest wedding banquet you've ever thought or dreamt of. In fact, I'm not asking you to say yes to a piece of clothes. I'm not even asking you to say yes to an idea behind the picture of a piece of clothes. I'm asking you this morning, on the basis of these great verses, to put on Christ. To receive him. I'm asking you to say yes, because that offer for you to be clothed in Christ, to have your sin covered, hidden, forgiven, and forgotten, is still valid today. And I know that because of the other verse that was read to us. The earth, just as the earth brings forth sprouts, they're not the green things you eat at Christmas, and as the garden causes what is sown to sprout up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. It's as certain as the shoots coming up at this time of year that God will give to you, if you will ask, if you will say yes to him, to his offer of salvation and forgiveness and abundant and everlasting life, you will receive robes you can't buy, garments you can't earn, salvation you don't deserve, but will be given by him. Put on Christ as your Savior, as your righteousness. Be born again by the Spirit of God. Have done with the filthy rags and wear these glorious garments given to you. Way back in the 1700s, one man came to realize that truth for himself. His name was Charles Wesley. He wrote lots of hymns as well. And this is what he said. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all that's in him is now mine. I'm alive in him. He's my living head. And look, I'm clothed in righteousness divine. Righteousness from heaven. Not self-righteousness. Not works-based righteousness. God's righteousness given to you and me. What amazing love. What immense mercy. What wonderful grace. What undeserved rescue from captivity. What open access to the throne room of heaven. Isaiah said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, because he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. That's worth celebrating. That's worth knowing. I urge you, receive, then stand, and let's sing with Wesley that great truth together.